right, brethren, let's go to Psalm 91. Thursday night, we looked at the first half of this psalm and saw Christ communing with his own heart concerning what the Father is to him, was to him, as he walked this earth. I want to look now at verses 14 through 16, and this is the Father's word to Christ, and it's the Father's word to his people, to us who believe him. He said in verse 14, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now we see who God makes these promises to. He says, verse 14, "He that hath set his love upon me." He said, "He hath known my name." These are first and foremost, they're God's promises to Christ and his Son. They're his promises to his Son. And they're those to those who he represented. They're to Christ and they're to those he represented. Christ is he whom God's name is manifest. As a man serving God, representing his people, he knew God's name perfectly. God's name's manifest in him perfectly. God fulfilled these promises to his Son because his Son fulfilled all the covenant promises he promised the Father he would fulfill. And these promises are sure. These are sure promises to all his people who know his name, who believe him, who love him. Has God revealed his name to you? He reveals his name to us by revealing Christ to us. It's where we see and know God's name. Has he quickened you to life and made you set your love on him? Set your love on Christ? Do you really love Christ? Really love him? If we love him, it's because he first loved us. And we don't love him as we ought. We don't love him as we want to. We don't love him as we shall. But God's children do love him. We do love him. Love is commitment to Christ. It's like Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's the love he puts in the heart of his people. He won't let you be separated from him. And God's name's who God is. It's what he is to his people. It's what he does for his people. His name declares who he is, what he is, what he does for his people. It's manifest in the Lord Jesus. When the Spirit gives a new man, when he creates a new man in his people, God's name is revealed to us in Christ. And that's how, but by beholding Christ and Christ being formed in you, that's how your love's put in the heart, and that love, that heart is established on Christ, committed to Christ, united inseparably with Christ. And when you know his name, you know what he has done for you, and you know what he shall do for you. Let me give these names to you just briefly, and you listen. This is what God is, what he does, and what he has done, what he shall do for his people. He's Jehovah Hasanu, the Lord our Maker. He's made us his people. He's made you his people. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's what he's provided in Christ for his people. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord that does sanctify you. He's the sanctifier and the sanctification of his people. He made us separate in Christ, separated us out in Christ. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. With his stripes we're healed. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Christ said, "In me you have peace. I've overcome the world. I'm your peace," Christ said. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He plants that banner in the heart, and that flag keeps flying. And he exalts Christ, and we rally to Christ. His people are going to be found under this banner. We just have one banner. You preach whatever your banner is. We preach Christ because he's our banner. Jehovah Raah, the Lord our shepherd. All these promises are sure because he's our shepherd. He never loses one of his sheep. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He provided in his son Christ Jesus, and he continues to provide all by him and due to him and for his sake to his people. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Wherever you are, wherever his people are gathered, the Lord is there. And this name's revealed in Jehovah Jesus. He is the Lord our Savior, our salvation. These are God's exceeding great and precious promises to his Son, to Christ. He's already fulfilled these in Christ when he walked this earth, and he's fulfilling these in his people for Christ's sake. This is for you who were born of him, who know his name, whose heart is set in love on the Lord Jesus. Now, first of all, God promises to deliver. He promises to deliver. He says, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Now, that promise has been fulfilled to Christ, and it's been fulfilled for God's elect in Christ, because when God delivered him, when he finished the work and God delivered him and God set him on high, he delivered all his people in him and set his people on high in him. Because Christ loved him, because Christ knew his name. Christ loved him perfectly. He knew him perfectly, believed him perfectly, trusted him perfectly, and fulfilled all righteousness to the death of the cross. And God set him on high. He delivered him because he knew his name, because he set his love on him. He delivered his people when he did so. And when Christ comes and teaches us this and teaches us him and reveals his name in us, he promises you, this is his word, he says, when the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When he comes and makes you know that he has redeemed you from the curse and condemnation of the law, he's redeemed you from the penalty of sin. He redeemed you from the death that came from sin. He's set you on high in Christ. He's delivered us. He's made us free indeed. And he promises you, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He's made you free indeed. Free from sin, free from death, free from hell, free from the dominion of your sin nature. But we need him to continue to deliver us. We're free indeed. There's no condemnation. But we have not yet arrived at that final redemption. That final redemption is when he redeems these bodies out of this earth and redeems us into glory with him. And until we arrive there, he's going to get the glory for continually redeeming us, setting us free the whole way. The whole way. You remember when our Lord, when he said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Before that, he had told them, he said, if you're my disciples, then you'll continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now understand, when he calls you, you're free indeed. He has delivered you. He has set you on high in Christ, and that's what he shows you. But he continues to deliver you and set you on high, set your affection on him, so you can see where you are, where your life is. And he keeps delivering you, and it's only through the truth. It's only through the gospel of Christ, by Christ the truth, that he does it. We need this continually. We need it continually. Now, we'll never again be slaves once he's freed you, but we're taken captive by our sin nature. Paul said that as a regenerated believer. You're taken captive by your sin nature. But God promises, Christ promises, to continue to deliver us and set us on high by setting our affection on him, by the truth. The truth shall make you free. He shall. He'll keep you in liberty. Christ said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he keeps on doing this. He said, because he has set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Take David as an example. David was taken captive in his unbelief, and he was in the land of the Philistines for a year and 4 months in complete unbelief. He was captive, but he would never again be the slave of sin. He was not the slave of sin. Captive, but not a slave. And Christ delivered him. He delivered him. Abraham was captive when he went down into Egypt. Captive to his sin and his unbelief. A captive, but not a slave. He'd never again be a slave. Peter was captive when he denied he knew the Lord. Captive, but not a slave. The Lord came and delivered him. He came and delivered him. Christ comes like he did to Peter. Remember what he said to Peter? Peter, do you love me? He said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He comes and he renews your heart and says, do you love me? Not have you repented enough, or you humble enough, or you broken enough, or you have you shed enough tears. Do you love me? Do you love me? And he said, because he set his love on me, I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he knows my name. The law will never condemn you who believe on Christ. Never. It condemned him and he delivered us. And your sin nature will never again dominate you so that your sin ends in death and apostasy. Christ is our strength who continues to deliver his people. Paul said he saved us. He is saving us. He shall yet save us. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. He shall yet deliver us. That's his name, isn't it? Jesus, for he shall save his people from our sins. From our sin. Now that's his promise. That's his promise. And his people know that's a valuable promise to us. Because we need him. We need him to have delivered us, to keep delivering us, and to deliver us finally. Finally. And this is the next promise, and it's twofold. Verse 15, he says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Now, this first part's as much a promise as the second part. God says, he shall call upon me. We call upon the Lord because God promises we shall call upon him. That's why we call on him. He promises we shall call upon him. God brings to pass his promises. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. No sinner can call on the Lord until God gives him a new heart. And no believer will call until Christ renews a right spirit in us. Christ declared to the Pharisees that their heart was not made new by God, and their evil hearts were known by the fruit of their lips. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. And he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. God creates this new heart, and he renews the inward man in his child, and he puts the cry in our heart so that we shall cry unto him. Psalm 10:17, the Lord, he said, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. You've heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. In Proverbs 16:1, it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He said, I create the fruit of the lips. He creates the heart, the new heart, and he brings forth praise to him, cry unto him. And he said, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, but we don't know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So this is a promise. God's going to keep his people crying unto him. He shall cry unto me. And then he says this, and I will answer him. There's no maybes in God's promises. No maybes. He shall call on me, he shall cry to me, and I will answer him. Isaiah 65:24 says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." You know what that is? That's God's putting the cry in the heart to bring you to cry to Him. And He says, "And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." We only call on God when He's made us to know. Now this is so. And He keeps making us know this. We only call on Him when He makes us know we are totally destitute. In ourselves, totally destitute. And He makes us know Christ is our only salvation. Beginning to end, this is when you cry to Him. When you have no other option, no other choice. He has to shut us up to Him, to cry to Him in truth. He makes us single-minded for Christ. That's what He does. Keeps doing this. Until we're single-minded for Christ, a double-minded man will say prayers. But he's looking to his wisdom and his strength of his hand while he says those prayers. And he's unstable. It's only when the Lord narrows our mind to Christ only, to singleness of Christ, we see that in ourselves we're destitute and Christ is all salvation. That's when a man will cry unto Him. Take David, for example. David's a believer. He's regenerated. He went down to the land of the Philistines, and for a year and 4 months, you don't read of David ever crying unto the Lord. But what did God do? He made him see that in himself he was destitute. He burned Ziklag to the ground using the Amalekites, brought David into the dust, brought him to the end of himself, and he renewed a right spirit in David to behold David was destitute and Christ was his only Savior. And the scripture says, and then David encouraged himself in the Lord and inquired of the Lord. He called on the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. And he says in Psalm 102:17, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. And here's what he's saying, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Not saying prayers while looking to ourselves, being so destitute in ourselves, we can't do anything but trust Him and call on Him. That's when we truly pray. We don't always truly pray. That's when we truly pray. God gets the glory. And this promise is to all who call on Him. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, He said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God said, He shall call on me, and I will answer. That's His promise. Here's the third promise. He says, He promises His presence. He says in verse 15, I will be with Him in trouble. I will be with Him in trouble. As the God-man mediator, when He walked this earth serving God, making His people righteous and putting away our sin, this was the promise of the Father to our Redeemer. And He rejoiced in this. He said, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is now come, that you shall be scattered, talking to the sheep, to His disciples. You're going to be scattered, every man to his own way, and you shall leave me alone. Christ said, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And this is God's promise in Christ and by Christ. This is Christ's promise to you who believe. He says, I will be with Him in trouble. That's His promise to you. That's His promise to you. The Lord promised Moses, I am with thee. I am with thee. He needed to know that. He was opposed by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And even when he got in the wilderness, And his only confidence was, Lord, I need you to go with me. And the Lord said, I will be with thee. The Lord promised Abraham, he said, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. That's God's promise to you, believer. That's his promise. I will be with him in trouble. The sin nature is covetous. Our sin nature is covetous. And so it makes us discontent. We want to, we're covetous to change our circumstances by leaning to our own understanding and our own strength of hand. But God makes his child content. You know how he does it? By making us know, I am with you. I am with you. This is why the Hebrew writer said, let your conversation be without covetousness. How can that be? How's that going to be? How am I going to be content in whatever state I'm in? How am I going to be content? He said, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's so. That's so. That's been so of his people in every age. That's so. Now look at this fourth promise. He promises to honor his child. He says in verse 15, I will deliver him and I will honor him. And when trouble comes, we start to doubt and question, is God for me? Is God for us? That's what we start to question that, because trouble has come. After all, God promised here, I will deliver and honor him. Now all sinners suffer trouble. Everybody in this world suffers trouble because all are sinners. They all suffer trouble. But God only sends trouble and chastens and blesses it to the hearts of those he loves. That's the only ones. It's the only ones. And for God's child, he's with us in the trouble, and he shall deliver us, and he honors you. He honors you. If we could get this, this would be such a comfort. Our trouble and our suffering is God honoring you as the child of his love. If you're his, if he's all your hope, your trouble is God honoring you as his child. And I'll tell you why. God works something in his child he doesn't work in everybody else. He only works this in his child. Only in his child. And the honor is that God fulfills these promises in spirit. In spirit. It's not outward circumstances. It's not outward circumstances. Men looked at Christ's outward circumstances and said he's rejected of God and afflicted. It's not the outward circumstances. That's where the psalmist got in trouble when he was looking at how the rich were prospering and the wicked were prospering and he was being afflicted. It's not the outward. Our religion's not the outward. It's not the outward. It's being made to know in spirit that God's exceeding great and precious promises are sure to you personally, in and by Christ. That's where the honor comes. God makes us behold God fulfilling these promises to us personally. This is what he does. God makes you know he has set my love on him. He comes and he makes you know, I've set your love. I've given you this love. I've made you love me, and I've set your love on me. Keeps you there. Keeps you committed to him. He makes you to know that he set you on high in Christ at his right hand, and he does it by coming to you again and turning you from everything below and setting your affection on Christ to know that's where your life's hid. He does this in trouble. He honors you by making you know his name. Remembering that everything his name declares, that's what he is to you. That's what he's doing for you. He makes you know this. He renews you to know this. He keeps doing it. In trouble. He makes you call upon him. He says, you realize, God put this prayer in my heart. God made me call upon him. I wasn't calling on him. Saul Paul, when he was Saul, he never was calling on him. He was saying prayers. But when God did this for him, the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." And he's going to keep prayer in your heart. And he makes you, it's such a blessing when God shuts you up to no other way to be saved and delivered but him. Because then you call on him. And he makes you see, he honored me to make me call on him. He honors you to make by making you know he's answered you. He's made you know in your heart he's for you. He's answered you. This is all in spirit. He makes you know he has delivered me. These are all these promises right here. He makes you know he's really fulfilling all these promises for you. He makes you know God is with me. In this trouble right now, God is with me. Christ is with me as certain as when he walked with his disciples when they were in this earth. He's with you who are his. And in all this, he makes you know he's honored me. He's honored me. It's spirit. If your honor and what you think is God's honor is just in blessings, outward blessings, he's going to teach you that's not it. He's going to teach you he'll take them from you. It's him. It's him. His spiritual blessings in him. He makes you experience his faithfulness. That's what I'm saying. He makes you experience his faithfulness to fulfill these promises for us. He's growing us in patience to cry to him, and wait on him. That's what he's doing. He's growing us in hope in him. In hope of that day when he comes and sets us on high. He's growing us in hope. And he's doing it by shedding his love abroad in our hearts. That's how he's doing it. That's the only way we have our heart, our love set on him. And that perfect love casts out fear. He's that perfect love. He makes you have boldness for the day of judgment because he makes you see, as he is, so are you right now in this world. When he makes you remember this. This is what we have to be reminded all over again. When we came to Christ in the beginning, we didn't have anything. Nothing. And what we try to do now is come to him with things he's given us. Good works and these things. We still had to come empty. And he makes you remember, when you were without strength, I redeemed you. When you were without strength, I redeemed you. When you were an enemy in your mind, I redeemed you and reconciled you. And now that I've reconciled you and justified you, when you're without strength and when you're acting like an enemy, I'm still with you. And I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. The honor is knowing Christ is our only deliverer. He's our only deliverer. And this, by this work he works, this is all what Paul said in Romans 5. While we rejoice in tribulation. And by all this, he makes you know he's delivering your brethren and the only deliverer of your brethren. It's what will make you keep speaking Christ the truth. Not be turned from it. Not be turned to works and start trying to tell yoke sinners with the practical things they ought to be doing. There's plenty of practical things we ought to be doing. But when we're in trouble, you know what we need? You'll find this with aged believers that preach. And when trouble comes, they just preach Christ that much more single and that much more boldly because that's what God's people need. That's how he's going to bless this message and free us and keep us walking after him is make you behold Christ is all your salvation. He is. And that's when you know the same afflictions he sent to you, he's fulfilling all these promises in your brethren by what they're suffering too. What they said, the devil wants you to think that you're not suffering. You're not suffering because God sent this. That you're not you, but the Lord will make you see that, and he wants you to think you are only suffering, and like nobody else is suffering. But the Lord's working this in each of his people, and he's fulfilling this. These are promises he's promised us by his grace. And he's fulfilling them in all his people. There's no way to prove it to anybody. It's the proof of it will be his people going to keep worshiping him. His people going to keep following him. And those that aren't can't make himself do it. See, not doing these promises for them. But his people are going to keep trusting him, looking to him, following him, resting in him. And then whatever the outward circumstances, then we're content because we know the blessings are in him, spiritually to us. This is why Paul was able to say, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Whether I'm abased or I'm abounding, he said. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you know where Paul was when he wrote that? He was in prison. And there was a whole bunch of people that thought he was in prison because he should be. A whole bunch of folks looking on the outward. It's blessings in the heart, brethren. I pray God to make us see this. And here's another promise. He promises us eternal life. He says in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Everything's carnal with carnal men. Everything. All the religion's carnal. They're looking on the outward. And all a carnal man wants is long life in this life. Well, God might give you a long life in this life. But if he gives you 100 years in this earth, it is a vapor. It is a vapor. That's not long life. That's not what he's talking about right here. The hope God puts in the heart of the believer is eternal life with Christ. That's what we're looking for. Job asked to be delivered from men of the world which have their portion in this life. And Job said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. God's promises here, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's what Job said. I want to be satisfied by awaking and beholding him and being conformed to his likeness. That's what Paul's talking about. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're waiting for. And God promises those who persevere in faith until the end, this is what he shall give to all his people. Every one of his people. And he keeps on delivering us over and over and over and over throughout this life. And you know what he's doing every time? He's giving you a foretaste. He's giving you a taste to know all these promises are sure. He just keeps fulfilling them for us over and over and over, showing us, I'm delivering you, I'm keeping you, I'm with you. I'm going to keep you crying to me, and I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you this long life in the end. And it's a foretaste. Every time he does it, he grows you in this hope a little more to know he is going to give me this because there's no way I could keep believing him if it wasn't for him. There's no way I would have come through this storm except by him. That's it. No other way. No other way. And he keeps you knowing he has you in his hand. He has you in his hand. And he's not going to let his people go. Not going to let you go. And that grows you in hope. And he says, and I will show him my salvation. You that love him, you that know his name, you that trust him, he says, I'm going to show him my salvation. Simeon took up the infant, the Lord Jesus. And he had been promised this. And he took up the Lord Jesus and he beheld him. And he said, Lord, now your servant can depart in peace. I have beheld thy salvation. It's Christ. It's Christ. Christ is God's salvation for his people beginning to end. Beginning to end. And at last, he'll be heaven to God's child. He's the reward we're seeking. Christ. 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 God's salvation, my salvation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his people say. He's mine. He's my salvation. And God says, I'm going to show him my salvation. God promises us an eternity with Christ, beholding him and beholding the salvation he's accomplished, learning of him and learning all about him and what he's done for us through this whole life. He's going to show this and what he did for us through our life, he can show us his riches to us for eternity. I read this to you from Ephesians 2:6 the other night. But it said he quickened us and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, this is that what he said, I'm going to give him long life and give him eternal life, and I'm going to show him my salvation, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what he's going to do. These are all his promises to you that believe. And listen now. To whom does he make these promises? He says, he hath set his love upon me. He set his love upon me. That's what he keeps doing with all that he brings his people through in this world and all these promises he keeps fulfilling to us. He's growing our love to be set on him only. On him only. I promise you, when we get to be aged believers, we're not going to love ourselves and these things that we love now and put confidence in now near as much as we do right now. Because he's growing us in love to him by showing us we don't have any sufficiency in ourselves. Growing in grace and knowledge of him is not growing more confident, more strong in yourself. It's growing to see more and more, if he just lets me go, I'm gone. I have no strength. I have no wisdom. I have no ability in me. It's growing down in yourself because you've made to see more and more you're a sinner. But it's growing to love him more because you see he's all my salvation. He loves me with an everlasting love. He will not let you go, child. He will not. That makes you love him. That makes you have your confidence in him. You've known his name. He keeps making you know his name. Keeps keeping you calling on his name. Now, if you know his name and you love him, here's what he says to you. Christ is teaching us these promises right here. They're yes in Christ. Because of his righteousness, because of his holiness, because of what he's done for us, and by his Spirit dwelling in you, these promises are in him, yes, and they're in him, amen. And it's all to the glory of God. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. So believe on Christ. Cast it all on him. Cast it all on him. Set your love, your affection upon him. Be committed to him. Call upon him. If you need help, you need anything, call upon him. These promises guarantee we shall. These promises guarantee we shall. And he will deliver us and he'll keep us. And we're going to see him face to face. One day we're going to see him. That one who bled and died and rose again for his people and made us perfect in him. We're going to behold him. Behold him and be just like him. He's just like him. Amen.